You're listening to Connecting Faith, and I'm excited to connect with an old friend. We have chatted over the years on a number of things because Ruth Tucker has written some 18 books and dozens of articles and has taught mission studies and church history at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School and Calvin Theological Seminary. And maybe she's best known for From Jerusalem to Irian Jaya, a biography history of Christian missions, which I would highly recommend. It should be kind of must reading for anyone that's interested in our wonderful faith that we hold so dear. Her latest book, timely, is Katie Luther, First Lady of the Reformation, The Unconventional Life of Katharina von Bora. And Ruth, I want to just welcome you back to Connecting Faith. Good to talk with you today.
Oh, my pleasure.
So the title suggests something unconventional. What was so unconventional about Katie Luther's life?
Well, for one thing, that is a play on words. She escaped the convent, so on convent.
Okay.
Your whole life. So it's a little play on words, but it was very unconventional for the day for a nun to escape, first of all, but then for a nun to marry a monk. And what an incredible scandal. You could have called that the scandal of the 16th century, because today for that to happen, for a nun to leave the convent, a monk to leave the monastery, and for the two to get married, you know, it would kind of pass on by and we wouldn't think much of it. But at that time, it was seen, for one thing, as incest, because they are actual sisters and brothers of Christ. So it was hugely unconventional and scandalous.
Was her leaving the monastery a part of her own sort of reformation and the same sort of maybe unrest that Martin was experiencing?
Not at all. A lot of people have taken it as that. But Katie never really was reformed at all. In fact, I have gone through all the records, and there is no evidence that she really affirmed Reformation teaching. She spoke a number of times, and Martin emphasized nuns who left the Reformation and who left the convent and who converted to the Reformation. And they write tracts, and they write about how bad the convent was, but there is no word from Katie at all. In fact, one time she talks about how furiously and wonderfully they prayed when they were back in the convent, but now they don't at all. She was a-religious when she was in the convent. That's what Catholics call monks and nuns. It's a noun. When she came out of the convent, she was secular, and she never became more than that. There are other women who escaped the convent or other Reformation women who vocally and through their writing proclaim Reformation ideals and doctrines, but not Katie Luther.
So did she, in what ways did she influence Martin Luther's work and faith?
Well, she was an incredible influence, and I say in the book, and I believe with all my heart, that she was the most important individual of the German Reformation, except for Martin Luther himself, that she stood behind him. She was a secular woman, but she turned the black cloister, which he had been given, a 40-room monastery, she turned that into a boarding house / Holiday Inn, and it was a money-making enterprise that kept Martin Luther afloat, and he needed to be kept afloat financially because money just ran through his fingers. But more than that, it was a place where then people came, they sat around table. Table talk is well known as we think of Martin Luther and all his beliefs and ideas. There would have been no table talk had it not been Katie Luther. He wanted to be rid of that black cloister. It was so run down and such a mess. She saw it. She knew she could turn it around. She was a very hard worker. She was a taskmaster with workers, and that's with indoor and outdoor servants. She bought farms. She increased her garden and grain fields and had a number of farms some distance away. At times when she was away for days at a time, Luther himself would be back home changing dirty diapers.
It's a fascinating read. The book we're referencing is called Katie Luther, First Lady of the Reformation. We do have some copies to give away, and you can sign up for that by going on the email at myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page, and you can sign up that way. We'll do the drawing here in a few minutes. You've studied a lot of church history and missions. So what was Katie Luther like, maybe in terms of other wives of, I guess, reformers at that time or kind of in that era? I know you even compare it a little bit with Susanna Wesley, which is, 100 plus years later. But give us a little sense of how her life was different than those others that we might know of.
Well, I've kind of ignored Katie Luther during the years as I've studied women in the church because she was not a church woman. Susanna Wesley very much was. Catherine Zell, Agula von Stauffer, Renee of Ferrara. A number of these women very strongly proclaimed the faith, Catholic women as well. And so I have dealt with these women in my writing, but Katie Luther, what can you say about her? She bought and sold farms. She was a businesswoman. She was a nurse. She was very active in the community as a secular woman, so I had nothing to write about her. But I began thinking about the Reformation and how significant she was as we think of this 500th anniversary. And she was profoundly significant, but not in a religious way. So she was very different from the women I have studied and very different from any women of her era. I think back of all the women, not just in the church, but secular women, and I don't know of any woman who had so many irons in the fire as did Katie, doing so many things at one time. She was an incredible woman. We think of Angela Merkel, the prime minister of Germany, and she would have been an Angela Merkel in her day had she had the opportunity, but of course women had very few rights, and that's interesting also. A woman could not inherit property, even guardianship of the children, but Martin Luther wrote that in his will. Absolutely, she would have that inheritance, and it didn't work out very well in the end, but they had a very egalitarian marriage. He would pontificate about how wives must be submissive, but she was fully equal in every way, and he recognized that, and he wrote about that. So theoretically, he was probably a complementarian of today in many ways, but their marriage was very equal.
Mm. You've written a lot of biographies and accounts of men and women of faith. Was there one thing that maybe surprised you most as you started looking into Katie Luther's life?
Well, I think the most everyone else talks about her spirituality, and I was surprised that you really cannot find evidence of it. The most often quoted phrase is that she said on her deathbed, "I will cling to Christ like a burr to a wool skirt." But it turns out that that was not written until some two centuries later about another Katharina, and somebody put that back to Katharina von Bora, the wife of Martin Luther, Katie Luther. So there really is no evidence that she was spiritually attuned, and that surprised me completely because I thought, well, I know she's not a Reformation woman out there preaching the Reformation, but there is no evidence about her own spirituality, and that should not really surprise us because she was a religious who became secular, a runaway nun.
And yet the story of their marriage, their courtship and marriage, and those early days, I mean, it's pretty, it's like a romance novel in some ways.
Well, not, I don't think of it so much as that. She had a great romance, but it was with Jerome Baumgartner, who stood her up, jilted her, when his parents found out that he was wanting to marry an impoverished runaway nun. And so he didn't even write back to her, and it was a sad story there. But there was no romance between Martin and Katie. He took her as the last nun standing without a husband or without a family to go to, and she took him as a very much a second choice, as not a real catch at all. But they came to love each other, to adore each other, and that is probably the wonderful story of Martin and Katie Luther, that he loved her. He called the Epistle of Galatians my Katharina von Bohr, and he loved that book of the Bible. And so he repeatedly talks about how precious this woman is to him, even though he says at another time, if you want a submissive wife, you've got to hew her out of stone.
Maybe just as we wrap up, Ruth, any thoughts, maybe in applications, things relevant for our the church today and our walk with of faith today as we celebrate the 500th anniversary?
Well, there certainly is for marriage. Martin Luther, we think of him as proclaiming salvation by faith alone, but another massive proclamation of his was related to the family. The Catholic Church had it wrong, that spirituality was a celibate lifestyle, that you do not marry, and that is true spirituality. That is a true religious. And that is wrong. We know that today. He knew it back then. And more than any other reformer before or after, he celebrated the family, he talked about the family, and he lived the family in an incredible marriage with six children.
We've been learning more about the First Lady of the Reformation. That's Katie Luther, First Lady of the Reformation, the title of a new book from Ruth Tucker. Ruth has taught mission studies and church history at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School and Calvin Theological Seminary, and she's author of dozens of articles, now some 22 books, including From Jerusalem to Irian Jaya, and we are honored to have her with us today. Thanks, Ruth, for giving us this important historical perspective of the First Lady of the Reformation. It's great to talk with you.
It's great to be with you. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Ruth Tucker about Katie Luther, the First Lady of the Reformation. I felt like I learned a lot more about her, as well as Erwin Lutzer's conversation, the full hour talking about Martin Luther and getting to understand the significance of this day and the days that followed.
That's right, yeah. Reformation Day, 500-year anniversary. What a great way to commemorate it today.
Yeah, I like what Lutzer said. He said, we'll be encouraged to learn that God uses imperfect people in his work. And I think that's what we find out. We don't have to be the scholars. We can be men and women of God who recognize our sinfulness, our need for the Savior, and God uses us when we're available to him.
That's right. There's still hope for all of us.
Yeah, yeah. Indeed. Well, thank you for listening to Connecting Faith. If you want to hear the interviews again today, you can always go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page.